CBS.
K8RUH. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Are you on your way to the gas station, or you've already hit the gas station?
I am pulling out of my driveway for the second time this morning because I forgot my lunch. So, turned around, grabbed that, now I gotta go get some go-go juice. What about you? Are you almost to work?
I am about three quarters of the way there. I got about 10 minutes in the car still.
Copy that. Does this weather get you all excited?
Oh man, I'm like, I'm ready to head back up and go fishing. I'm ready for hunting. I mean, it is Christmas right now. This is when it all starts happening.
Yes, sir. I am jeans and a t-shirt right now and happier than a pig in poo. I'm ready. I feel like, you know, I feel like we say this as Michiganders, right? This was the longest winter ever. This was the longest summer ever. But I truly feel like this was the longest summer ever. It got hot early, and it stayed hot, and it's getting cool late.
Yeah, you know, I was just so ready for the transition to fall that, you know, my car's saying it's 43. For a while there, I thought it would never, ever be 43 again. It was getting so crazy.
And I'm pretty positive there was some frost on me.
You barely made it in that time. I heard you say that you were pretty positive there was frost on your grass or windshield. I don't know. I think I lost you.
Oh, I can see my breath.
There you are. I couldn't hear you for a bit.
I was behind the gas station, but I tried to clear, and I must not have made it in. Did you hear the part where I said my truck says it's 34?
No, I heard a little bit about frost. But, wow, you're a little chillier than we are here, that's for sure. Man, I bet fishing is going to be awesome this weekend. I wish I could get up there.
It's cold. I wish it was summer. You might hear that from me come, like, January, maybe February. Right now, I couldn't be happier.
This is the weather we wait for, I feel like.
Good morning. According to my thermal bob thingy, Bobby, it says 39. So, but this car takes a while for it to stabilize. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sean, are you going to be in the office tomorrow or around? Yeah, I should be. I should be. All right, I want to hook up with you.
We should sync up when we're stopping by. I got to stop by Sean's his shop also, and I got to get you that computer, so we might be able to kill multiple birds with one stone.
Well, yeah, let me know. We can maybe tentatively plan for some sort of a lunchtime meetup or something like that. We could all coordinate somewhere.
That could work out well. Sounds like we lost Dakota again. Hey, I'm going to hop off pump gas real quick. I'll be right back.
As we used to say, you got to pump Ethel. All right. Be here. Yeah, Sean, you got a deal, so I want to get paid because you're that's how they don't push back. And, I don't know. Maybe I'll get out with that thing this weekend.
Okay, sounds like a plan. It's a sure thing, so. Yeah, tire of it, 6 months or a year or whatever, can't lose, so good deal. And I'll probably just get the 706 gussied up and get that, I got a cord on the way for it, probably get that gussied up and on the block, make somebody a good deal on that. So very good. Don't worry about, you know, about the money or anything like that. In fact, if you want to just Venmo it, that's fine. That, you know, but if we're going to meet up, that's fine.
Whatever's easiest, I'm sure Venmo's actually probably the easiest. I just knew I had to get you that 706 back. And, yeah, no, I cleaned up that 857. It just had, like, drywall dust or something on it. And the thing's mint. I mean, literally perfect condition. So, appreciate the hook up on that. And, got some goodies coming for it, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it looked really clean. That's, like you said, there was some dust or something on it. It was all I could tell. And other than that, it looked really clean and blemish-free, so best I could tell. So, cool. Yeah, very good. And 706, not quite as spiffy, but then again, it's... is what it is.
If I didn't have the plans for the 857, or let me rephrase that, if I didn't have the plans I have for an 857 or 706 Mark G, I would have definitely taken the DICOM, just because I'm partial DICOM.
Did you get a chance to fire it up and play with it at all, or, yeah, because that was what I figured. I figured you could just, you know, get a feel for what the whole 706 thing is.
I didn't, but I can tonight. I was afraid to mess with both and then become indecisive, and then lean towards the Icon because the price was even better, and because it's an Icon, and then down the road be like, damn, I wish I would have kept a 857, so... I'll turn it on tonight. I can put it through its paces, make sure it's working okay. And that was in pretty decent shape. There's a couple scuffs on it, but it's not. Compared to the Mark II G's I see, the thing's mint.
Well, remember, that one, even if you liked it, you probably would be looking at a different one.
Well, and I was just going to say, I don't know if this is a smart decision or not, but if you come across a U.S. banned Mark II G, keep me in mind.
Yep, Burrs, I should borrow you my 7,000. Because the 7,000 is basically, you know, the pinnacle of 706 Mark II G. I think they're pretty much the RF decks are the same. They just, they went with a little different display technology. It's interesting because the display on those is color, and it's composite video. So, you know, just, it's the same stuff that you would put right into the connector on the back of your television. And you can do that with a 7000. You can actually feed that to a monitor. And, in fact, I was going to take the screen in my vehicle. There's a company that sells a breakout device that allows you to use it as a monitor. And, you know, when I was playing HF in the car, I was going to take the 7000 screen, and I was going to put that up on the great big, you know, vehicle screen.
That's actually pretty sweet. Like, you're talking yellow, well, I don't know if there'd be red and white because that's audio, but... like the yellow video out cable, like from the old PlayStations and stuff?
Exactly.
That's actually pretty freaking cool. I know the 710 does that. I keep meaning to buy. I need a, I don't know why they chose a DVI. I think it's a DVI. Yeah, it's a DVI port on the back of it. but it's DVI to HDMI, and I can plug it into a monitor that's sitting right above it, so I might have to order one of those just to screw around with it, too. Not that, I mean, it's, I don't know. I get it if you got a sleep shack and it's dedicated for radio, by all means, but that monitor does more important things for what I'm using it for, but, I mean, I guess it's cool that you can do that with these.
Yeah, that's what I found, is, you know, that it's cool, you know, but there's so many other things I'd rather have up on those monitors, and I got two monitors in my shack, and I suppose if you had three or four monitors, and you could dedicate one to that, then I suppose okay, but, you know, honestly, I can think of better things to do on monitors to a point, and, so, you know, that's, I suppose dedicating one. What the heck is that in the east? That's got to be a planet. What planet is that? Oh, well.
I know a guy that can get monitors.
I do not need any more monitors. I need to, I don't know. I'm out of room. I got two 32s stacked on top of each other, curved, and then I have a 27 off to my left. I don't have any more room for anymore. Maybe like a 19 for like what Sean and I are talking about, the waterfall of the radio.
I'll let you know if I come across a real nice 19, but nobody, I don't even know if they make 19-inch monitors anymore. It would be an old monitor. Sometimes we see them brand new, even old stock, brand new.
Remember back in the day when 19 was a good size monitor and people had 13s and 15s and 17s and before they broke into the 20s, it was like, woohoo. I think it was about the same time that 20-inch rims were getting big. Dubs.
Like the phone trends, man. They were, how small can we make them? And now it's, how big can we fit a phone in your pocket? Can we make them fold and give you a tablet?
I'd do anything for a little flip phone these days.
Oh, my God. I was just going to say, it's like, now that we have smartphones, I can't not have one. But I so wish we didn't have them. And I so wish we just still had flip phones. You know, but how can you not have a smartphone in this world? You know, you can't. So it's like, damn it, you know. But man, the good old days of a flip phone, nothing but business, right? Text and phone calls. Man, those were the good old days. I was always hoping that we would have two devices. We'd have our flip phones, and then we'd have a tablet. You know, which would be larger and designed for, you know, more. But they found a way to convince us to do it all on one device, and I guess that's good. But, oh, you ain't kidding, man. Missed the flip phone.
I really wish I wasn't. Excuse me. I wish I was older or Nextel was later in that era, because I had one for a very brief time, maybe a year. A yellow Nextel i530, the one that was monochromatic, flip, and had like the black rubber on it, made by the Motorola. And I wish those were still a thing, because that's all I need, all I want. I cannot stand having to use a phone every day. Especially, I have two numbers on mine. I do all my work on mine, all my banking on mine. I do everything on it. And I try to make it a point now to break away from it and do stuff on the computer if I can.
Nextels were amazing. Those things, man, it was like, it was awesome when those things came out. They were also hilarious because nobody really knew how to mute them at the beginning, so you could just chirp your buddies and say wild stuff. It was always a good time.
I never had the whole Nextel thing. That I got, you know, I was around during it and all that good stuff, but I never warmed up to it or got on that bandwagon. Flip phones, my favorites were the Motorola StarTacs. God, I love those things. You know, living Remember, we are limited to 140 characters on a text message.
Yeah, the StarTechs were amazing, and then the Razor. That was cool, because those were thin, and they didn't have the battery bubble up like the StarTechs did.
I feel like that 140 character just recently got lifted with the introduction of RCS.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's not been that long, but yeah, no, good stuff, man. And that's when, you know, your phone and text, that's what it did. That's what its mission in life was, and it did it well. But these new phones we got are amazing. You know, and it is nice to be able to bring them up and do, you know, literally anything you need to do, you can do on a, the problem is, you know, people that are buried in them, and just constantly buried in them, and you know it's not important stuff, you know, it's like nobody could be buried in their phone doing important stuff all the time, it's just cat videos, you know, it's like, God, look away from the phone, set it down, for God's sakes.
They are amazing. I was when I was up north this weekend, I was in places that realistically should not have cell service, and on top of it, they had cell service, and I was able to get data. I was running two different GPS programs on my phone to find river access points, and all I could do was shake my head and think how, you know, 10 years ago even, I would have had paper maps out and getting my my buddy to be telling me turn by turn. It's just wild. KE8RUH.
It's a time to be alive, and now the new iPhones are tying in the Starlink, which is also just insane. You know, think about how much sat phones cost right now. I know that's not what these are necessarily, but sat phones are like $1 a minute, $1.50 a minute, and I feel like we're just inching closer and closer to that era where our phones are going to be through satellites.
Was there a double in there? Was there somebody trying to get in with Anthony?
Mobile.
Good morning.
Morning. Jack White has a flip phone.
Got her a jitterbug, did ya?
Too little to do photo without a smartphone.
Roger. Yep, so, good stuff, but, I mean, none of us would probably give up, none of us would give up our smartphone. I don't even have to say it as a question, because if we would, we would, but we don't. We're all running around with our, you know, they've made them so they fit in your hip pocket pretty well, so that's, so you can't give up the functionality. Anthony?
Yeah, you know, as we're talking about this, I just switched over to my phone, so I'm walking into the office. The convenience is unbelievable. I'm going to probably just be listening from here on out, guys. I'll just jump in if I have something, but I got to get into the office and get moving. So I will catch up with you guys a little later, K8RUH.
Take it easy, Anthony. Yeah, my phone is, unfortunately, the core of everything I do. I mean, it unlocks my computer. It runs my watch that unlocks my computer. It's got all my MFA on it. I'm not getting away from it.
Yep. No, I, same thing here. Multi-factor, you know, is now a reality. You got to have a device to do that. And, you know, and I got two, no less. You know, I got my work one, and then I got my personal one. So now I got, not only do I have, you know, smartphones, but I've got two of them. Ugh. Crazy. I could do a flip phone for the you know, for the work phone, because that's all we use that for is pretty much, well, no, we use that for some 2FA, MFA stuff as well, so I don't know. Why fight it? We can reminisce all we want, but the reality is we're in a different world now. Joe? Maybe that wasn't Joe.
Jerry,
KGHHZ. Oh, okay, Jerry. Sorry about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you guys were talking about POTA antennas yesterday. I got to take my Bronco in today. I've got a basket, Yakima basket mount on the roof, and I have a mirror mount for the shark whips, and then in the back of my... in the back of my spare tire, I found a screw that had continuity to the shell of the car. So I bought a lightning arrestor from one of the connector outfits. Basically, it's a UHF male and then female on the other end with a screw tapped in the outside of it. And I ran a braid to that screw in the spare tire well, and so two good counterpoise there is the car body is the counterpoise for my shark whip.
I've got something similar. I actually need to talk to KATMR and see if he plans on keeping my ham sticks. I gave him a 20 and 40 to screw around with. If he does, no big deal. I just get more. But I mounted a fire stick 3/8 to, what is that, SO239 in my truck bed towards the back by the tailgate, so I can just sit down, screw in a patch cable, and throw a ham stick up, and I'm on the air. That's honestly one of the easiest ways I've ever activated.
Well, you know me, I'm a Tar Heel fanboy, so I don't know if that counts or not, but that's my MO.
I had one of those when the 706 came out. It was one of that variety. They were kind of neat because you could tell when you were getting resonant that, you know, everything would come into focus as you tuned up and down.
The kit I buy is going to be an ATAS or something of the sort. How's that Tar Heel work, Sean? You need a tuner for that, or do you tune it yourself?
I was just going to say, I've done it both ways. I've got the fully automatic tuner, you know, so it tracks and all that, but I find it's always getting out of sync, and it just was driving me nuts. So I just went to an up-down switch at an SWR bridge, and... and the radio has one. And basically, you know, like Gary was saying there, I just run the thing, you know, I know which direction. I put some tape on it to kind of, you know, kind of show, you know, you can kind of see in the rearview mirror when it's, you know, close, if I got to run it a really long way. But basically, you can hear it peak up, the noise. And once you hear that noise peak, you're right there. You just got to then just kind of bump it a little bit, and you're right on. So I found that just using a switch and peaking on noise, you know, and then doing the final tune with the SWR was, you know, for me, just much more convenient, much more reliable. So anyhow, this joker better not pull in front of me here. Hold on a sec. Chaos at the Starbucks. Anyhow, yeah, I just do the manual switch and, you know, and then just run it up to peak the noise and then just dial it in. So, works really good for me.
That's what I used to do with mine. I'd listen for it and it would get right into sync.
That's kind of what I gather from the, the videos I was watching, even on the ATAS. It gets close, but with the Yaesu stuff, you just hold the PTT and then there's an up-down button on the mic. That's what guys were generally doing. They'd get close, and then they would just tweak it with the up-down. So I was just curious. So I'm wondering if I'm concerned locking myself into a proprietary one. That's all I'm getting at.
Well, if you're asking me, I'd say get like a Tar Heel. You know, and they're not only do I think they're non-proprietary, but really, really well made. I think they're better made than the ATAS. That's my take on it.
Yeah, that's Tar Heels. That's a pretty decent brand. Anyway, I'm here at home, so 7-3. I got to take my Bronco in and a bunch of recalls and need the oil changed and tires rotated and stuff. So 7-3, I'll KC88S.
Gary, just real quick, which repeater are you on? Detroit, I'm guessing?
KC8LTS.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're down in Brownstone Township or something like that, aren't you?
And that's Township over, Huron. But, I was able to hear you guys on the repeater, but I was always too proud to get into it, so it's kind of nice that they linked it. KG8
All right, man. Take care. Going to ask how your son's doing, if he's graduated and off to work and all that, but we'll talk again. Catch you later. W8FU.
N8BBF. Yeah, Sean, that's kind of what I was thinking, too. Well, then I flipped back on, it's like, well, I could always get another 891 that's still in production if I ever needed to replace an 857. I don't know. Convenience is 100% there. I think I was going to do another, Breedlove. Like, I have my 2x4 mounted. Just put it on the opposite side and just pop the antenna on and off, and I can just operate from inside the truck.
Right, yeah, that'll work. So tell me, the ATAS, I know it's designed for the ASUS. Does it somehow utilize the tuning system in the ASU to find resonance, or how does that all work?
That's what I don't get, because the 857 doesn't have a tuner, the 891 doesn't have a tuner, and they use this, I don't know if it's proprietary, I'm sure it's proprietary, because I think they even say it's proprietary, but it's some microprocessor stuff that's in the antenna, and it uses the power from the RF of the radio, or the power from the radio, it's got to be the RF from the radio, because it's going through the coax, and that's what makes the antenna go up and down. So I don't know. I'm assuming it's got to be the SWR meter on the radio. It's the only thing it can be.
Oh, man, this Starbucks is a nightmare. I wonder how many accidents they have in this parking lot. It sounds like they've got some sort of RF sensing tuning going on or something like that. I know that, JSU has band switching. So, it probably can tell, where it's supposed to go and then just do the fine-tune from there or something. But, yeah, it's just something to consider. I'm not a big fan of the ATAS. I think it's a little light-duty. I just like the more robust, screw it. These people just, man. People are just driving with their heads up their dupas today. But I'm just a Tar Heel fan, and they're generic. You can use them for anything. And you can buy the tuning kits, the tuners for them and all that. I've got one that's kind of an RF-based. It sees where it's at and makes some adjustments with the RF. It tunes the antenna based on RF. And then I got another one that's based on position and RF, which is faster because, as you change bands, it's already QSY-ing and stuff. But there's all sorts of tuning setups you can get for the Tar Heels if you want that. So can't help you there. I'm a Tar Heel fan.
Those are a pretty penny, though, aren't they?
They are. They're not cheap. I've got the big one, the 200, I think it is. And then I've got the small, I got the small one as well. And, you know, I like them both equally. But, you know, if I can run the big one on the trailer hitch, I do that, obviously. But the small one's nice for, you know, I can get away with a Diamond X400 mount and do it on the lip of the tailgate. So, yep. But they're not terribly cheap.
I might start with the ATAS 25, which is it's meant for portable. Like, it's got a quarter 20 on the bottom, so I can literally pop it on a tripod. It's on sale right now at Gigaparts for like $199. I might start there and see if I like the concept of that kind of antenna. I don't know what kind of compromise. I mean, I guess it would kind of be like a chili dog, right? Other than probably not as good.
Nah, it's probably just as good. You know, obviously there's more coil involved, you know, where the chili dog has the much longer element. So, you know, you don't need as much coil. So clearly that's going to be a benefit. But $199, I had no idea. That's hard to beat. That's a good price.
That's the ATAS 25, though. That's the manual-tuned portable one, not the 120 Alpha. So, I don't know. I'm going to try it, because that one I can at least use with other rigs. But, yeah, I mean, for the money I'll have into it, it's not terrible.
No, I mean, having said that, I think I changed my mind. I think I'd say, yeah, get that, see how that works for you. I've only seen one in operation. A guy that lived right near me, he had one, and he liked it. And I'm sure it'll work good for you. You know, it's the same concept. You know, it's a screwdriver antenna, right? So, you know, it finds its resonance, and, you know, you just depends how much coil are you using. So, obviously, if you're down on 80, you know, it's going to be, you know, the efficiency of that antenna is going to be pretty low. You know, and as you go up, it's going to get higher and higher. And all that, but that's just a given. You know, there's nothing much you can do about that. If you really want to get on 80, you know, on you're in the mobile, well, that's when wire gauge and physical size and all that stuff really starts to come into play. You know, and all that just to get, you know, just to try to struggle your way to 10% efficiency.
Right. Yeah. No. If I hit 40. If I can hit 40, I'm pumped, and if I really do want to do 80, I'd probably get an 80-meter hamstick or some sort of coil and just monoband it, and if I need 80, I'll just switch to that rather than trying to compromise 10 different ways.
Yep, there you go. There's all sorts of things you can do, so hey, whatever. So I do love HF mobile. I almost always have mobile in my HF in my car. And this particular car, is the longest I've gone without HF reinstalled. I usually get my car, and usually within the first couple of weeks I own it, I got the HF set up in it. And this one here is now going on 2 years, and I still don't have it. I've got it mostly installed. I just got a few little things to do to get it fully installed. And I don't know why I'm dragging my feet. It's been my specialty the last several years, procrastination. All right, I'm here at work. I got to get inside. I got a meeting at 8:00. I got to be all prepped up for W8FU after years.
I was gonna say, last time I saw your car, you were pretty damn close. But good timing. I just backed in my spot as well, so I'll catch you later. NADDF.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Delta Papa Zulu, monitoring.
KCKJO.
Oh, yeah? Really?
You are the walrus.
Cuckoo Kachu. What's shaken?
Oh, today's adventure is into the middle of the thumb.
Ah, whereabouts?
Chaos City.
I know it. I used to hunt a lot in Clifford, Marlette, Brown City, all up in that area. I used to go pheasant hunting up there. And then got up to Vassar and stuff like that occasionally, but haven't been up that way in quite some time.
Yeah, I think the last couple of times I've been up there, there's a windmill farm I've been to. I think that's by Bad Axe. And then I, a few years ago, went up there during that big old snowstorm we had that was supposed to be down here by us, but it ended up being up in the Thumb area off the bay. And I got caught in it going to Seven Wings.
Well, I like it up that way, so probably a refreshing change of pace for you. I know you're mostly heading west when I hear you, so probably a refreshing change of pace.
Oh, 100%.
All right, Tom, I'm just pulling in here to the main office. We got the main office. Did you go to the set, by the way, at my main office?
I visited it on Friday, and then I was out with Tim on Saturday on the deployment. But, yeah, I was up there on Friday, helped out with a couple things, and got a mini tour. It's pretty cool.
Yep, there you go. All right, yeah, I'm just pulling in here now. That's our main office, the Washington office, and then my little enclave is the, you know, where all the magic happens, if you will. All right, I'm here. I got to get inside. Got a 8 o'clock that I got to drop in on. I'll be back out here in a little bit, though. W8FU, after yours.
Enjoy the day. Don't work too hard. It's supposed to be nice out. KZKGL 73 to you.
KZKGO from KFA-TVZ.
Morning, Cliff. KZKGO.
Morning, Tom. How goes? My hands were full at the time, but I heard you and Sean talking after I got my hands involved in something else. So how goes?
Oh, just doing the usual drive far away kind of thing. Actually, this isn't far. It says an hour and 15 minutes. It's a lot faster to go up into the Thumb than it is to go to Ann Arbor from my house.
Yeah, the times I've made trips that way, I kind of noticed that kind of thing, too. You're going up 53 or 94.
M19. I got to go up to Cass City, which is up by north of Marlette. So my coworker's down at Hall Road in Garfield, and he's meeting me up there. So I'm just taking the scenic route.
I haven't been outside yet, but I have looked out the window. It looks like a beautiful morning for a drive like that, at least. You got that going for you. Maybe you get to see some fall colors.
Oh, well, I won't be doing Mackinac today, but I agree with that one. We went through the tunnel of trees a couple weeks ago, and just wasn't quite ready to bloom the fall colors.
Yeah, copy that. I'm hoping maybe get a chance to make the drive up there and go do that this fall. Oh, well, it's something my lady really likes, and I don't mind making the drive.
You know, when we do, like when we went up north a couple weeks ago, my daughter did the driving. She likes to drive. I like to drive, but, you know, when it comes to everything, you know, sometimes I like just being a passenger because I drive so much during the week.
Yeah, I hear you on that. As much driving as you do, even going out for pleasure, it feels like you're doing a job when you're, when you're behind the wheel.
Oh, definitely. That's why on the weekends I let my wife drive. And then if she messes up her truck, then she has no one to blame but herself, so I avoid that argument big time.
Oh, there you go. I'm going to have to keep that in mind for the future kind of thing. So, there you go.
Yeah, I'm still on the Richmond repeater. It's reaching up north. You're pretty darn good. Where am I at? M19 in Kennedy. I'm north of Emmett, between Emmett and Yale right now. KJO Friday.
Yeah, you're out there a ways. Jeez. And you still sounded good. There's just the faintest hit of a hiss and stuff like that in transmissions. But then again, you know, there's not a lot of obstructions out there like there is down here.
No, this is nice. It gets to the northern portion, you know, north of the county. And she's got a good height on the tower. So, and her footprint's pretty big. I can reach it pretty clear to it in Marine City.
Oh, that's all good to know for future reference. I will make it up that way. I know that I'll be able to get back down here to talk to some folks.
Oh, definitely. I mean, this is nice. You know, sometimes when I'm going west on 69, I'll lose it depending on atmospheric conditions, I guess you could say. I'll lose it around Emily City and then I bounce into Burnside. This is just, I'm just going straight up M19 so far. I'm still hitting a repeater pretty hard.
Yep, that you definitely are. You're starting to get just a little bit popcorny, but you're definitely very clear and intelligible. Still sounding really good.
Yeah, let's see if I can push it to Yale. If I can push it to Yale, then that's a big success right there.
All right, sounds like the plan to me. I will definitely be here because I'm finishing up adding a few more touches to a bit of program I did on a new toy. I've got a brand spanking shiny new handheld DMR.
Well, there you go. You got your DMR ID, it's all programmed. Do you have a mobile DMR or just the HD?
Just the HT for right now, figure out how to program stuff like that, see if I've got it right, play around with it, learn about it, things like that, because, you know, I'm poor. You know, I can't afford $2,000 radios or anything like that, or, you know, $300 handhelds, so you know, I went cheap on this one. I got the Baofeng DM32UV.
If they get you into the Mount Clemens repeater, that's all that matters. You could probably get an external for the car, put it on top there. I mean, you want a decent DMR, is that GYG MD9600. That's a good bang for the buck right there.
All right, I will keep that one in mind because I don't mind using TYT radio. That's what I'm talking on right now for the analog. KFA-DPZ for ID.
Yeah, you sound pretty good on that one. And let's see here. Good happens. I got like a half a mile here before I get into Yale. Let's see if we can push it just a little bit further.
Yeah, you are still sounding good. Still just a little bit of popcorn, but you're still perfectly understandable.
Well, beautiful. That's a good thing getting into, you know, coming into Yale. I said I got a good distance.
Yes, it is. And again, it's good to know. How much power are you putting out on that thing right now, do you know?
50.
Also good to know, if I go up that way, I'm going to have to do the same thing, turn it all the way up to the max.
If I can get all of that, I might be heading the end of the string.
you out just fine. The popcorn's only gotten a little bit worse.
Okay. KCKGO. Just checking.
And you're still doing just fine on that.
KDAWOJ, I was just letting you know you guys doubled there. And Tom, if you can hear me there, there's a little river behind town there on the west side with a small dam, and the river's usually full of salmon this time of year. Hope you got a fishing rod.
No fishing rod, and I'm in clear blue skies right now. KDAWOJ.
I used to wander Lake Wandering over there from Lapeer this time of year to catch salmon there by that little dam. It was quite a lot of fun.
I'm going to tell one of my coworkers that because he goes fishing. Glenn, you still out there? KFAGTKGOKGO. Good morning, Rick. Okay, we're going to push Snell up at 19. I'm out of jail.
And a good morning to you too, Rick.
That's quite
and,
the trip.
Yeah, I got you back now, Tom. You're coming in nice and good. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, sorry. I think I stepped on you there, so I apologize. Tom, that's quite a trip you're making there this morning. I'm surprised.
Heading up to Cass City. I'm in San Luis County now, Peter Township, so I'm just north of Yale. And it comes and goes, but it's still clear. Pretty easy.
Maybe we just got some decent conditions this morning. Who knows?
Yeah, Tom, I'm curious, what repeat are you going into, Richmond?
100% Richmond.
Well, you're definitely burning up the airwaves.
Well, that's quite a system that Sean's put up there and created. I'm kind of impressed, especially, too, being tied in with the CMN. It gets out a long ways.
W8FQ.
Back out. Go ahead, Sean.
Yep, just got to leave the Washington office and head to the outpost. So I've got a minute here on the road. Oh, man. And then I'm probably going to have to head out to the northern reaches. Find out how my backhoe extravaganza is going.
Rick, you got Clint down here, and I'm north of Yale.
Supposedly a butcher in Yale, or a place that sells this Lebanon bologna that Walt used to always get. He and Charlene used to go up there. He'd go to the VA and get checked out, and they'd do a little drive and all that, but he always brought the Lebanon bologna back from there.
Oh, there you go. Go teasing us with food and all that. Top of the morning to you, Sean.
Is it the top of the morning? I don't know. Maybe. Good morning. Where'd you go, Tom?
Trying to take a repeater up here. I'm on North, M19 North and M90.
Well, you should be able to pick up Mayville at some point. You got Mayville in there?
Yeah, I'm going to check for it right now. I'll be back. You guys keep going on. KTL.
Okay, we'll do that. Who else is in here?
Well, I'm in KTFATPZ, and we got Rick out there with us, too. KE8WOJ, I believe, is his call sign. Oh, you, Rick.
Yeah, good morning, John. And sorry, but there's some equipment running right across the street, of course, as soon as we get on the radio. I can hardly hear a thing.
Well, hold on. There might be an issue going on here. Were you talking when Tom and I showed up on frequency? That would indicate there was a network drop.
Well, if there was an event like that, I didn't notice because I've been able to hear everybody the entire time.
Okay, no, I guess,
yeah, me too. I didn't notice it at all.
Brian said Rick's in there, and I'm like, you know, where'd all this information come from? I just knew Tom was out there until Brian jumped in at the top of the morning, so I was just a little confused, like maybe there was a network sever, and I missed out on something. No big deal. Cool. What's shaking? And I am just pulling back up to the shop, though, and I'm just going from location A to location B here as I make my day.
And not a whole heck of a lot going on. I'm just going some time before I got to take off for my day. And giving Tom a good old range test. You know, we were picking him up on the Richmond repeater from north of Yale. And other than that, we've just been yakking. Just been yakking our heads up. Over to you, Rick.
Yes, sir. That's quite a system you got set up there, Sean. And I feel for you having to drive around there. I was out to Walmart to get some cat food this morning. And... at 6 in the morning, and it was a nightmare then. I can imagine what it is out there now.
Not too bad, but I'm just bopping around here by the work. We had some stuff to do at the Washington office, and now I'm just back down to the to our compound. So, all right, but I got to get inside there and get on with my day. I had a backhoe take out one of my sites, so that's a big deal this morning. I got to deal with that. Plus, I got to unload some coffee. All right, I'll catch you guys a little bit when I get back inside. W8FU, Brian.
All right, that sounds like you guys get to have all the fun. It's almost like they didn't see the markings where stuff was and things like that. And anyways, you try not to work too hard there, Sean. And by the way, my name is Cliff, not Brian. Maybe I sound like him. I don't know. But anyways, like I said, you be safe out there. I'm 73 to you for now. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, 73, Sean, and boy, a backhoe took out a site. Aren't you a lucky fella? And Cliff, I think you're going to enjoy that DMR handheld. I just got, I got three of them now. I got one in back in February, and I just bought two within the last month. It's a ball. I hardly get on analog anymore.
Yeah, I've got at least the one repeater by me, the Mount Clemens one, and the Detroit one programmed in. I'm just not sure if everything works right or not. I can hear people, but every time I've thrown my call out, nobody's come back.
Oh, well, you're doing better than I did. I got this radio back in February. And I think I was pulling hair out until like about June or July when I finally got it working. it's kind of a big learning curve for some of us. Some of us are slower than others, I guess. And But I kind of got over the hump now, so I'm kind of enjoying it.
Yeah, I just picked this one up because, one, it was inexpensive, and we'll let me get into it and play with it and things like that. Seems like, you know, kind of seems to be all the rage right now. And, you know, I literally just heard Tom on it, so I can receive. I don't have any phones for receiving. The only thing I don't know is if I can transmit or not.
Well, you did put your DMR number ID in there, didn't you?
Yes, yes, I did. I did all of that, set up the color codes, the time slots, and things like that. Like I said, I'm just not sure if anybody can hear me or not. You know, at least right now I can receive. Yes, I know Tom is out there. I think I'm going to give him a shout for a second to see if he can hear me.
Okay, I know that was a silly question, but that was the first thing I thought of.
KFABBZ. No such thing as a silly question. It's wise to check stuff like that, and we should all be checking each other all the time to make sure we're getting stuff right. Otherwise, this whole thing falls down on us.
Yeah, Tom gets around pretty good on that DMR system of his. He's, you can hear him all over the place, usually on Statewide 1.
Yeah, hey, Rick, you can definitely hear me. WOJ from KF8DPZ. You still out there, Rick?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. KEAWOJ.
Yeah, I didn't mean to just walk away from you and stuff like that, but Tom and I was just yakking for a couple minutes on the digital, and I got all the 10 too. So basically, we know that what I'm doing programming-wise is absolutely working. Unfriendly.
Yeah, I didn't have a clue what I was doing when I started there. I was used to misprogramming analog radios. Oh, man. I could kind of hit repeaters and get sort of a response from them, but I could see there was a track bit going on, but I couldn't hear anybody and I couldn't reach anybody for a long time. I can't even remember what the problem was. It was a long time ago. But anyway, somewhere around June, I started figuring things out, and it's been a lot of fun ever since.
Yeah, I'm probably going to enjoy playing with this thing, too. What amazes me is the absolute clarity of it. There is just no background noise whatsoever. It's like you're sitting next to each other at a dinner table.
Yeah, that was a little weird for me to get used to at first. I'm used to, you know, like Tom earlier, people get out at the end of their string and things get a little fuzzy. Here on digital, it seems like it's either loud and clear and sitting next to you or nothing at all.
Oh, that's exactly what it is, Rick. That's exactly how it works. Digital's big advantage is it's clarity, but either you're there or you're not. Analog's big advantage is when you start getting out to the end of the string, even if it's noisy, you can still get through.
Yep, and I'm blown away by all the thought groups, nodes, and everything else you can get to all around the world there. Like I say, I've almost disappeared from the analog repeaters, except this one anymore.
Yeah, I copy that. I'm not planning on disappearing off the analog stuff anytime soon because each way of transmitting has its advantages and its disadvantages. And the more tools you have in your toolbox, the more you can do.
Yes, sir. And I like the, I call the K8 FBI system there the FBI University. You can always learn something. Just about every day you can learn something listening to these guys.
Yes, you can. That's why even when, like, you know, I'm busy and I can't really talk, I'll turn on one of my HTs and put on the remote mic so I can have a speaker up by my ear and run around doing stuff while I'm just listening. Always good to pick up information. The more I can learn about this, the better off I am. And that applies to everyone else as well.
Yeah, I don't get out much anymore, so I don't have a mobile. I've got 3 mobiles now, but none of them in the car. But anyway, I don't get out much anymore, so I wander out to the porch and have a cigar quite a few times a day. And I don't do a lot of talking, but I sure do a lot of listening.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the day where I can actually do that and just not have to worry about having to get out of the house or anything like that. Yeah, retired out of Stellantis, but I got a couple years yet to go doing other things to make money before I can actually quit working, because I got to wait for, I don't get my pension increase until 27, and I can't pick up my Social Security until then. So in the meantime, with what I got coming in right now, I got to supplement my income a bit, so that's one of the reasons I go out to DoorDash. I can listen to the radio all night long, participate in nets and things like that, all while out there making some money.
Oh, excellent. And after you retire for a year or two, I don't know about you, but I start getting bored and wishing I could go back to work again. But, yeah, plus the extra income there will help you with if you got hobbies. It seems like all the hobbies I got are just expensive. And I'm always wishing for something new, you know.
Yeah, I copy that on the hobbies being expensive. Ham radio is expensive, and the other one that the lady and I participate in, we both fly RC aircraft, and that gets pricey quick, too.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. But that, I imagine that's a whole lot of fun. I like fishing and shooting. I do a lot of shooting. I can't get out and hunt anymore, so I do a lot of target shooting, and I load my own ammo, so that gets, you know, people always think that loading your own makes it cheaper, but it really doesn't. You just get a whole lot more shooting for the same money. And you can customize the ammo to the guns kind of thing. But anyway, like you said, it's all expensive stuff.
Yeah, I copy that. Even the shooters are expensive. Tom just gave me a shout-out on the digital radio. I'm going to step back quiet for a bit there, but I will be monitoring, all right? I'll talk to you later, Rick. KFA-DBZ, clear after your final, and monitoring.
Okay, Cliff.
Don't worry about it, Cliff. It's Charlie 18, so it's really not good at bumping on DMR. But I'm on the Mayville repeater now on UHF, so...
Well, alrighty then there, Tom. Wasn't expect you to switch over. At least good that I know that DMR radio works now, and I can, like I said, finish up the programming.
Absolutely. That's what makes ham radio fun, is figuring out how to program it and make it work. Yeah, well, this is the Mayville repeater on FBI Network, or CMN FBI. So, Sean told me about it. I know I had it programmed in there, but I got good RX right here.
Well, I've definitely got you 5x9 coming off the nasal repeater. That's for sure. You sounded really good now. All the noise, or all the popcorn and picket fencing is gone.
Oh, yeah, I got a little bit of hiss, but that's just probably because I'm going in between trees or something. But plus, there's power lines right next to me. Cool. We'll just keep going. It happens to make it up in the Bannock area. I'll let you finish up your DMR programming, but I'll be around. KTKJO.
All righty, copy that, Tom. You have a good one. You be safe out there. Yeah, this is KFA-DBZ, clear and monitoring.
KTKJO, clear monitoring. DMR and UHF, as always. Baby St. Louis. Well, I'm still up here. How's it going, Liam? This is GZKTO.
Not too bad. Get the kiddos out to school and headed into work.
Oh, I'm heading to work too, but I'm going to Kansas City, which I guess is north of Marlette somewhere. I don't know. I'm just following the map and taking my time. My coworker is not going to be there for about another 30 minutes because he's down in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, there's some semen machines in Kansas City. Oh, it's one of the MI6 nodes.
Yeah, this is 3775 Mayville, so from what I understand, I could probably push this one pretty good. I pushed Richmond all the way into Yale, and just a little bit north of Yale.
Yeah, we've been getting some band openings. There's was an interesting one for the set. The SDOC was taking up both time slots. They were hitting two machines at once, and the time delay from the distance was lighting up the other time slot.
So you do what, Genesee County ARPS up there?
Yeah, I work with the Genesee County guys. That we're a pretty small group right now, actually. It's kind of a, I don't know, sore subject for some people, but the group that used to do it isn't happy that they don't do it anymore, so we don't get much help.
Yeah, I think McComb just went to 23, I think, or 27 members. There's a few inactive, you know, not really active, but I don't know how you want to call that. You know, they don't deploy, but they're there for reporting and relays. But we got over 20 now.
Yeah, we got pretty much five that I know of. One of them works night, so he wasn't able to help with the set because he was busy sleeping. And then the other one's a DEC, so he was busy doing DEC stuff for the set. So it was just three of us at the EOC, just kind of made our scenario that since we had the county moved EOCs and we hadn't set up been able to get in there and set up our radio stuff yet, we kind of made our scenario that EOC was compromised. We were set up a temporary EOC, so they were getting radios online, and I was at the laptop doing all the paperwork.
I was just waiting for a pause to see if somebody was bouncing in there. Yeah, we had the EC, the DEC, and our deployment manager, Wally, was up in the AOC, and then me and Tim were dispatching the north end of the county and bounced around there.
Yeah, we were pretty much kind of made the realization that there's no way we would get the points that we would need to win, so, or get any sort of ranking, so we decided it'd be a good opportunity just to, you know, get in there, do the safe work, get it, you know, go through that. And I just got on my sims access this summer, so I was kind of, it was nice to be with the guys that have done it before and ask questions and get it done right.
Well, that's all you can do. You know, do your best. I mean, that's all we did on Saturday. We did our best. I think we were an improvement over the spring set. When I missed the spring set this year, I was able to get to the fall one. I mean, I'm just a few man because, you know, I don't have any radios in my personal vehicle, so ride around with Tim. And I did the radio work and the paperwork, and he did the response.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, our spring set wasn't the greatest either. the EC thought I knew more than I did. He's like, all right, Lance, you're in charge. You know what's going on. I'm like, no, I don't. So it was aggravating, and I was frustrated for that one. Actually, felt a little better. But, yeah, it was. Oh, you do better.
Oh yeah. You're going to take what they give you and make improvements, and then by the spring set, you'll be a little bit more prepared. I think we are more prepared for the fall set than we were for the spring, so, you know, since we're a new activation, or a reactivation, I think we did pretty good. And see, we are perfect, but I think we did pretty good.
Yeah, that was the other thing. It's kind of like, I'll ask, like, hey, when's the spring set coming up? And you're like, oh, it's next week. Here's the paperwork. It's like, so we had no time to look at it and get prepared. And just, this time I felt a little more prepared and ready to go. And actually, see what we need to do.
Yeah, I'm still working on level one, but, you know, can't do anything with it right now because, you know, FEMA shut down, so I can't get in my ISC and finish up my 200. I got a half hour's worth of work left on that. So now everybody's at a standstill. You can't get EM tickets, you can't get GMRS tickets. I mean, I couldn't log into anything since earlier this week. Hopefully it'll end soon. KKKJL.
Yeah, I think that was part of the problem that I had this weekend was go to grab one of the forms from the FEMA website and it would just bring me to the same FEMA homepage. And I couldn't get in any of the forms. But luckily, one of the guys had a zip folder with all the forms in it. But, yeah, it was kind of aggravating. Trying to fill out a 205, and I couldn't find the template, and the only ones I could find were not what we needed, and yeah, it was aggravating.
Well, I found a website for the 214, and it's an editable PDF, and I filled out my form. And did that quite easily. Actually liked it. I was able to type it up and make it look nice, proper spacing. You know, the autofill fields was easy too. I should send that to you.
Yeah, I was using PAT for WinLink and it has the forms in there. It didn't make the PDF for me. It would just send it into a PAT email or a WinLink email. I'm like, this isn't helpful. But, yeah, it was, I got the 214 done, and, the 309, we got that, but yeah, it was, we were trying to put the 205 to put on my sims, could not find it.
Well, I saved the link, on my laptop, like I said, if you got an email in QRZ, I can always, send you the link.
Yeah, I have that zip file that my EC had now. But, yeah, it was kind of funny. It was like the MySims link would send you to the FEMA webpage, and the FEMA webpage would send you nowhere. Like, well, this is helpful.
As long as you got the zip file and you can edit it, I mean, that's all that matters. But if you want the one that I got, I have a second send it to you. Well, you can DM me on Discord, too. And, because I sent it to Tim, N-A-W-R-O, so he can fill out his paperwork. So, copies of the files. Him and GWUO does a lot of scripts for us. So we got helping hands if you need helping hands at McComb.
Yeah, right now we need bodies. That's what's really killing us. We can staff EOC, but then there's nobody out in the field. Put anybody on the field, and there's no way at EOC.
Get a hold of NAWRO on Discord, and he came up with a way to do it. And he actually sends postcards out. And that seems to generate bodies. KCKJ.
Yeah, he sent the postcards, or somebody sent them in the Discord. But yeah, in general, we got a... Part of our problem is we stopped having meetings too, so we don't even know who's out there. If there is anybody other than us five.
Well, if you want to join our meeting is tonight on 47Q PO100 with a positive offset. And we're also on Echo Link, so if you got Echo Link, you can key into that way too.
Yeah, definitely too far away to hit that repeater. It may disconnect from the network for the minute.
All Star as well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about All-Star. That's in there, too. Thanks, Don. Good morning. KCKJO.
Yeah, I'm signing out. I'm going down the road to the office and say Thursday morning manager meeting that starts at 9 o'clock, and it's 8:57. So, you know, I don't want to be late. You guys have a good day. WABB.
Have a good one, Wally. KCKJO.
Yeah, I got the same thing. I think ours was at 9:30. Yeah, it was at 10, but they
moved it, so.
But
I
started getting invited to the meeting of the managers.
Oh, really? I'm, 10 minutes away from Kansas City? I've got to find a place to stop for a minute because my eyeballs are floating. The other guy is probably about a half hour south of me. He must be getting close to work also.
Yeah, that Mayfield machine's got some throw on it. It's I think it's the highest point in Tuscola County. Might be getting ahead in the band opening too.
Yeah, she's got some reach today. I had said in Richmond, I mean, she had some reach too, all the way into Yale. There was some dead spots, but then I popped right up. A little bit of popcorn, but I was still making it in.
I'm trying to remember what they have in Cass City. It might just be a DMR machine. Maybe a VHF, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll look on repeater book once I get to my location. But I know I'm hitting a little bit of the end of the string here. So I'm going to say 73 for now. And I will chat at you later in the afternoon.
On the end of the string of the bladder or the radio? Yeah, I'm almost at work too.
73,
K Butler.
Both. 73,
KPR. Thank you.
And you take care.
KPR, Westmobile repeaters, going out the air for a while.
Very sad. Have fun, Phil. That is that,
yeah. Yeah, Dave is here. I'm just pull up, so we're good. Thanks. KPR.
73.
Well, if you guys need help, you can always call over to Green, too. Or call me at 8-6-M.
73 to Bloomfield. So is it dead?
It is. I'm going through Detroit here. How's it sound?
Very good.
Okay, I think that'd be better. At least been warned for me where I'm at. Yep, everything's in my trunk.
So you got the junk in your trunk?
Yep, junk is in the trunk.
There you go. Groovy.
All right, I'll probably have to set up at my house for a while. I'm not going to start walking down the road. When I'm in Cleveland, I'm not going to have it on, but I'll set it up temporarily at the house. It'll basically be a very powerful node.
There you go. You got the ultimate node.
Okay, I'm on Warren now. How does that compare to when I was on Detroit?
Might be better. I don't know. You're rock solid right now.
I'm running alongside the lake, so nothing to interfere with, really. All right, almost back home. KPR.
Yep, just trying to plug away here. Got a bunch of stuff going on. Later. WHQ.
Public service announcement, anyone can hear me. The traffic signal is out at the intersection of Garfield and Miller Road, which is in between Central Parkway and Clinton River. So, yeah, traffic is really heavy, and try to avoid the intersection if you can. KFA, PZ.
Well, if I was down there that way, they'd be extremely beneficial, but I won't be down there for another 3 hours. KCKQ. Thanks, Cliff.
No problem, Tom, but this signal was out yesterday, too, and the only reason I didn't put the call out is they usually fix it pretty quick, but it's not fixed yet. It's been out for over a day now.
Archer on order. WADPD.
What's up, Brian? They're probably expensive because they got to come from China and it'll take 6 months to get here.
Just finishing up my lunch break. I had to put in a smart comment, that's all. How's everybody doing today?
Well, I can't really complain. I'm caught in a traffic mess that's caused by that signal out. I'm out DoorDash and trying to deliver somebody to lunch and get slow things. If I remember right, Tom is somewhere up towards the top of the thumb out there to fix something. And sarcastic comments that are humorous are always appreciated.
I used to have a key for those traffic control units, but that was back in the 80s. KCKJ, I'm at the end of the stream again. 73 to you guys.
And I just found the cause of why traffic is still so bad, even though I'm through that intersection. The signal at Garfield and Clinton River is also out. And now everybody can add 17 in Garfield to the signals that are out west. KFAPPZ.
WGA, KLL, KFA, DIC. KFA, DIC, clear.
And now to update the cause of the traffic signals being out. Apparently there's a power failure in this area. KFA, DPZ. Well, another public service announcement. There's some good news anyways. The traffic signals on Garfield appear to have been restored. KFA GPZ. Monitoring.
WWPQR.
Okay, I was just wondering if this thing's working. I got the repeater sitting in my house here, and I was just had a quick question for Sean if he's around. Guess not. All right, back to what I was doing, KPR.
KPR from KF8DBZ. I can hear you loud and clear. You're coming through, so whatever it is what you were testing is working just fine.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. KP.
Anytime. You were the first person to acknowledge that my radio even worked some months ago, and I'm returning the favor.
Oh, don't make it all mushy on the radio.
These are the times when I wish there was a shake in my head emoji that you could send over the radio.
When I get a chance, I gotta stop by your QSO so I can pick up that what is that? Yeah, that's it.
Talking about that Midland GMRS radio I got?
Yeah, that's the one. It comes with an antenna and a cable. And I think that one's still programmable.
It's programmable in the sense that you can set the PLs. They call it privacy codes in there, and you're given numbers instead of the actual frequency, but the manual gives you a chart of which frequency corresponds with which code number. But that's about all the programming you can do for it. Repeater offsets are built in on the repeater channels, so there's really not a whole lot that has to be done to it to make it go.
And I'll just make it easy for my wife to operate.
Well, that's the plan. I could double-check and make sure that I left the correct codes in place to hit all the repeaters that I know about here in Michigan. And at that point, it's totally a plug-and-play solution.
That's all she needs.
Sounds good to me. My lady's the same way. As long as it's easy for her to do, she's willing to do it. So, you know, she has a GMRS license, but she definitely is not interested in punching her ham ticket.
Does she have GMRS in her vehicle?
Oh, yeah. I put the same kind of little mobile in there that I put inside my little Escape, Tamani CQ WP9900. And it's programmed exactly the same as mine. I just tell her that you just got to stay on these channels.
Oh, you just adjust GMRS on the 9900?
Oh, no. That thing's fully programmed. It gets in all the ham bands and all that stuff like that. That's for when I'm riding around in there and can operate it, just in case. Like, she could be driving and I could be working the radio kind of thing. But just for her, I told her to just stay on these channels because these are the GMRS ones and these are the ones you get a license to talk on.
Oh, yeah. I got you there.
Yeah, there was no way I was going to ride around in her vehicle without having full access to everything that I wanted and can legally use.
Yeah, if I'm with her, then I take a mobile DMR, VHF, UHF with me. My other DMR mobile is just strictly set up for GMRS, and that's my coworker's truck. That's what he uses to talk to me.
That gave me an inspiration.
Yep, sounds like that works.
Uh-oh, we have an inspiration. Go ahead, Sean, KCKGO.
Remember how there used to be those bumper stickers that people used to put on their Yugos? My other car is a Ferrari or something like that. We used to get one sticker to put on your Bofang. My other radio is a Motorola.
Absolutely. that would work. You have to find that now.
Hey, Sean, I was just looking for you.
What's up?
Quick question. I got the repeater in the house here. I just wanted to line up, check the power amp in and see if it's running a little lower than expected. I'm in the RSS software, and I can't figure out how to adjust the power amp. Do you remember?
I believe you have to go on service, and then what you do is you tell it, you transmit, and you measure it, and then you tell it what it's measuring, and then it adjusts until it remembers that. That's Quantar. I think that also applies to MTR, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Okay, well, when I hit the station alignment, it comes up with a box, and it says the box is power amplifier. I click that. It shows the four sets of digits to make sure that it says, you make sure they match what's on the thing, and they do. And then I hit save, and that's as far as I can go. I can't, every time I hit power amp, you know, to make an adjustment, it just keeps doing that same thing.
All right, where's the MTR guy on frequency? Give me a second.
I know it's out there because when I first set this thing up, I remember adjusting that, but I cannot seem to find how to get back to that. So, a little weird. Sorry for interrupting, guys. I just wanted to get the answer to this, if possible.
Oh, you're good, so carry on. I mean, Cliff and I were just, you know, hashing it up. So, if you need Sean, go right ahead. I'll step down. It's not a big deal. That's more important to get that computer taken care of.
Yep, same here. I'm going to agree with Tom. I will go back to monitoring and let you guys get this thing figured out. 73 is to you all for now. KFATPZ monitoring.
Okay, thanks, guys. No, what I'm doing wrong here. I seem to remember something about a certain window has to be open or something to get access to other stuff.
Well, I mean, you're able to get to alignment, right? Because, yeah, you have to have the code plug opened up in order for the service menu to be available.
Yeah, I can go to station alignment, and I can, like, even go into transmit deviation. And it's got all kinds of numbers I can play with. There's everything else, but when I go to the power amplifier, it just keeps bringing up that screen with the four sets of digits in it. And it says hit the save button, which I do. And as far as it goes.
And this is in the station alignment screen when you hit power amplifier, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, exactly.
What happens if you hit configure over on the right?
It's got the channel number, the receive frequency, transmit frequency, and it's got a key and D key. And a close button, that's it. Now, I do have it set up in base station mode because it's... performing a reset and going through my other node. Turn that down. So I have it set in base station mode because it's using an external controller. Do you think that has anything to do with it?
No, it should have no bearing. By the way, Phil, what are you putting in? When it asks for that code, what are you putting in there?
Oh, I'm sorry. The thing just reset when I closed the window. I missed part of what you said. What am I putting in where?
When it asks you for that code, what are you entering in there?
with exactly what's on the label.
Right. Is it on the PA? Because each PA is calibrated, and that code tells the base station the parameters to get rated output power, plus or minus a certain, you know, error factor. So maybe the PA was swapping that.
Well, it's one of the characters was a little, got a mark on it, so couldn't read the number. And I thought maybe it's got the wrong number. But if I tried putting other numbers in that one character, it kept saying, "Could doesn't match, doesn't match." When I put the character that was in there back in, it accepts it.
What, that's a 110 watt station, and what are you seeing out?
What AG?
80 into a dummy load, all good cables, calibrated watt meter, all that good stuff, right?
Yep, yeah, going into my service monitor. It's showing, yeah, it's 80.9 watts. Yeah, if I put one of the wrong number in this thing, it says, comes up with an error and says the CRC supply does not match the calculated CRC. So if I put the right, you know, if I put the number that is, well, for sure is on the label, I get no error message.
I got all sorts of stuff breaking loose here. I gotta tend to, so I'll look into it later if possible. Love you, Andrew.
ADHJL, KE4ZYQ, how's it going, young man?
Joe, I don't want to really interrupt their conversation with a different conversation. I just wanted to follow up with the other guy about his CST thing. But if they're done, we can talk. But I guess I don't want to interfere with what they got going on.
USL, standing by. KE4ZYQ.
We're done for right now, so thanks.
Quick, I just wanted to add about that CRC. You very well may already know this, but when you change one digit, there's a CRC, cyclic redundancy check. Basically, if one number changes, they know that it's not a valid number. So when it says that you're passing the CRC, that means you're typing the number off the barcode correctly, or whatever it is, correctly, which is great. You know you're typing in the number correctly. But what Sean had mentioned was that if the number you're typing might not match the unit that you're using, the fact that it passes or fails the CRC check won't tell you whether it's the right number. It just tells you that the number you're entering is accurate. That's really all that I wanted to add. You may have already known that, but I just thought I'd throw that in there. It doesn't make it impossible for what Sean was saying to be true. That's all I wanted to say. If you've got nothing else, that's fine. I'm going to turn it over to you for a few seconds. If you don't reply for a few seconds, then Joe, go ahead and jump in. ADHJL.
Okay, very good. Are you familiar with MTR 2000s?
Not the actual specific application. I was just following along with what you guys were talking about. And Sean was saying that there are different numbers for different units, that the number could be the wrong number. The fact that you're typing it incorrectly, that CRC proves that you're typing in whatever number you're trying to type in correctly, it just doesn't prove that that number matches the actual unit. That's all. The disconnect can still be there. But I have absolutely no idea anything about the piece of equipment that you were using. I just know about CRC checks.
Oh, okay, very good. Thanks for that info. Let's carry on, KPR.
I wasn't sure that what I said had any value. I knew that kind of before I said it, but you know what? It's whatever. Yeah, I thought I'd maybe give you a hint if it would help. Otherwise, not a biggie. Hope you guys get it working. I'll turn it over to Joe, KE4ZYQ from ADHJL.
Jim, KE4ZYQ, good afternoon to all of you on frequency. Yeah, I was listening to their conversation, too. I thought they were done for a moment, but good to keep me in check, because I didn't want to disrupt if he was coming back to discuss the same topics. But hopefully everyone's doing well today. I'm sitting back after eating a slightly later lunch than usual and chilling out. The sunshine's kind of nice.
My wife has a lounge chair that allows her to sit outside, and we headed outside under the tree yesterday, so she got to enjoy it. She came in the house, she's like, I'm freezing, it was great. So she's enjoying the cooler weather. My toes are cold, but I hate having cold toes, so I'll take the warmer weather any day. But yes, I know there are many, many people who look forward to this time of year, and if you're a fall type person, you really can't draw up days much better than we're experiencing.
Oh, if she plans it right, this next weekend, I think it's supposed to be high about 70, 72. So it won't be cold, it won't be hot. It'll just be just right. Real good fall weather. Maybe the trees will start showing some color by you guys.
Very much are. We've got a couple of maples. They're supposed to be silver blaze maples, but I suspect they're not. In any case, they have gone nicely red. They're getting where they need to be. Our purple maple is losing leaves already. So, yeah, we're definitely noticeably into fall. But as I drive down to Quinder Road here, it looks like most of the trees are still green. So I think our maples are just early for whatever reason. But yeah, this is the time of year my wife lives for. This is exactly what she wants. Just enough warmth from the sun to not be cold, cool breeze, all that kind of good stuff. So. I'm going scuba diving on Sunday, and it's probably going to be maybe even in the high 40s, and I'm not looking forward to that. But, oh well, I'm happy most of the other time, so what are you going to do?
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Don't become an icicle and get froze under there. But, yeah, you need a different hobby come fall and winter. Of course, I think you probably do, snowmobile or something?
I only have two hobbies, and that's scuba and amateur radio. So through the summer it's scuba and the winter it's amateur radio. But I do as much scuba as I possibly can. So I ice dive here in Michigan, we'll cut holes in the ice and go diving under the ice. And then I try to get to Florida as much as I can. Travel may be restricted this year. I haven't figured that out yet. But under normal circumstances, or let's say under past circumstances, I'll go twice, even three times to Florida for somewhere in the neighborhood about 7 days. And do as much diving as I can while I'm down there.
Yep, ADHJL, KE4ZYQ. Well, you should have been that guy they just put on the news recently who found a treasure buried in the ocean off of the coast of Florida. Approximately $1 million worth of gold and silver coins that were lost many, many years ago. Did you happen to see that?
I did not, but there have been, there were hundreds of Spanish galleons lost in the 100 or so years that the Spanish just stole all the gold from Central America. And, there's many that haven't been discovered. Now, many of them might be in the middle of the ocean where nobody's going to discover them, but, absolutely, there are all kinds of galleons that they find. It's ridiculous. And, yeah, the value of them, I would ask, was it a million? Or was it a billion? Because with gold at $4,000 an ounce, it doesn't take many ounces to get way past a million.
Well, when you get a chance and you're at home on a computer or whatever, to be able to look up on air, look up the recent findings off the coast of Florida. They claimed, in the article I read, they claimed he got up to $1 million worth of gold he found. And I think it was a mixture of silver and gold, not just gold, but yeah, and it showed the guy who, was scuba diving with other people, I guess.
Did you guys hear about the pink Petoskey stone that was found right here at Metro Beach a few months back? This guy was beachcombing. It's a rare pink Petoskey stone, one of the biggest ones ever. Right on the beach he found it. Got $3 million for it.
ADHJ, JL in the group. No, I hadn't heard about the pink Petoskey stone. I will definitely look up the galleon, Joe, but I tell you what, I'm actually more interested in the Petoskey stone because I have the actual possibility of finding that. When we do the dives in Port Huron, I go in at Lighthouse Beach and we'll drift down the river for probably about 2 miles. And for much of it, we're out in the middle, and Petoskey stones are out there. They're not that hard to come by. So are net stones, stones that Native Americans took an oval-shaped stone and chipped a waist into it so that they could tie a rope around it to tie it to their nets for hand-cast nets. We find net stones out there pretty routinely. We find Petoskeys out there pretty routinely. I'll have to find out what a pink Petoskey looks like and add that to my repertoire of things to look for, because that would be an incredible find. I'd take that in a heartbeat. I'll turn it back over to Joe. You can turn it back over to Sean, WNFU, KE4ZYQ from ADHO.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. No, I didn't hear about that guy here in Michigan. No, that's interesting. Yeah, I've seen those stones before that you're talking about in the Internet, people finding them periodically, not often, but once in a great while. Yeah, it makes you wonder. You know what people don't realize, if you go to a beach after a good summer and you do sifting of the sand on the beaches, people find coins and rings and watches and all sorts of stuff. When people go out there, lay on a blanket and lose their watch or ring or a coin they don't even know they lost, they may have taken off and it went in the sand. And that's why a lot of people take those metal detectors. I'm sure Sean knows about that. He might even have one. I think I have one too, to be honest. Over to you, Sean.
Yeah, well, just I got to get back to work here and get out the door. But no, it just was just recently, and the pink ones are rare, and this one was particularly large. So you know, it was not every Petoskey stone is going to be valuable, not even every pink Petoskey stone is going to be that valuable. But this particular one, but I find the ironic thing about it is this guy was a beachcombing at Metro Beach. You know, it's not like this was, finding some sunken treasure or something like that. How many people probably stepped right over it or walked right past it? You know, it's ironic. And anyhow, yeah, keep an eye for that, Tim. And, like I say, there, just do a search. Just do search Pink Petoskey Metro Beach, and you'll see the articles. They'll pop up all over the place. But I found that to be pretty intriguing. All right, I got to get back to work, guys. Enjoy. Phil, if you're over on the other one, briefly, Fred was out there. He might shed some light on that, but he seems to agree with me on the power setting thing. All right, got to get back to it, guys. W8FU. How do I hang this up? God darn it.
I appreciate it. Get back to work, but I appreciate the heads up. I just Googled it, and it looks like it was about the palm of a hand, so not like huge and massive. And like everything, it's the quality of the stone that makes the difference. You know, there's 1-carat diamonds that are $3,000 and 1-carat diamonds that are $30,000, and it's all about the stone itself. But, yeah, no, that's definitely something I'll keep to my mind. Because, like I said, we see a dozen or more Petoskey stones as we're flying along the river. They're just everywhere down there. So it definitely gives me something new to look for. So I appreciate that. And then, Joe, I got to get going myself. I've got my daughter here at 3 o'clock. I got to start teaching her IT stuff, so her curriculum is beginning. So I'm going to get out of here as well. Thanks for popping in. I appreciate it very much. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day with your laying around after your late lunch. Sounds like a wonderful retirement. But I got to get going. I'll be clear on your final. This is AD8JL.
Hey, Tim, well, it's good talking to you even briefly, and happy hunting when you go swimming or diving and all that, and good to hear you in there too, Sean. Thanks for telling about the beach thing. I never heard about it. That's interesting to hear something local like that, especially in that expensive or valuable. That's rare, especially on the beach, like you said. Wow, once in a lifetime, 10 lifetimes. Anyhow, KE4ZYQ, clear. W8FU.
10-8 DBS.
What up, Pumpkin?
Oh, just finishing up here in Utica and then on my way home.
Are you going through a New Baltimore on your way home, or are you just going to go straight north?
I can head over to New Baltimore. That wouldn't be an issue.
Got your radio ready. Missy over there on the digital side of things.
I can jump over there real quick. Just waiting for my coworker, then we usually talk FRS, but I'll meet you over there on digital for a minute.
No, I'm on the P25 side of things.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll test it out on the way home.
Yeah, you've got Bay City in there now and Grand Rapids. That's what I thought. You gotta love it.
Well, who doesn't? You know, I'm just putting some Velcro stickies on my Alinco mic so I can stick it to the dashboard here. Motorola's already got a clip.
That's nice. Okay. All right, you got 7.200 in there. I think there's one over there in Utica in there. A couple other VHFs that were kind of popular around here. 2.100 when you get down south a little bit. So I get a handful of them in there.
Well, that'll work.
That's what I thought. That'll work. All right, landing gear's down, and I'm on the drive, so I'll chat to you a little bit. Call me when you're close. I'll listen to you.
Copy that. Yep, I'll give you a ring when I get closer to the QTH.
WHP.
KPR test 1, 2, 3.
So far so good. KUQGO.
1, 2.
WDAKLL KF8DIC.
KF8DRC W8BPD.
WAZP, go ahead. This is KF8DIC. How you doing?
I am doing well, my friend, and how are you this evening?
I'm doing good.
So, yeah, I heard everything this morning. Even Greg signed in, but I don't know why you didn't hear it. They were on GM just fine.
Oh, that's all I heard, is, Brian, is... the guy was saying, I have four TVs. No, the gal, one of the gal there, she said, I have four TVs. And it was all mixed up between three, four people who were talking at the same time. And one of them said the reflector was not working this morning.
Well, I had to work as soon as I got in, so... Yeah, I took break a little bit early. I signed in. I checked in about 8:27. Had no problem. And they said Greg was right behind me. So, I don't know. Might have just been that moment when you were listening. But, yeah. Anyways, how are you enjoying this cool weather?
What, Brian? I was over at my sister's house, and she lives on Cass Lake. And I was outside with hair sleeves, but I was sitting in the sun and never got cold till about 5 o'clock. It got so cold there, I said, no, I can't take this anymore. I got to go inside. And I went inside, sit inside. It was chilly there.
Once those clouds started, or once the sun started to go down, I closed up the house and put my socks on because my feet got cold. And yeah, this morning, the truck said 37 degrees and the automatic heated steering wheel and the heated seats came on. I was a little surprised.
Yes, you're right. It was chilly this morning, too, but last night, that heat was cranking up every 5 minutes. I don't know what wasn't out there, and that's how was it last night. Till about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I said, what the heck is going on? Is that how cold is outside? I don't believe that.
Well, I got another frost freeze warning for tonight, so it's going to get chilly again tonight. I think this will probably will pick the rest of the tomatoes off the tomato plants because they're just going to be frozen if we leave them out too much longer.
I'm glad you remind me of that. I got about seven of them out there. They're really right, you know, they're going to be frosted out. I might as well go out there right now and pick them all up and bring them home. But it's still the green on the green side, but they're not covered.
I don't know exactly how cold it's supposed to get. I'll go out and pick them tomorrow because we got quite a few of them that are red enough to be picked. And I'd have to look through them. So I probably got 23 or something like that. On the big one, then the cherry, I probably got 25-30 of those that could come in, get there too, and they'll be juicy and ready to eat.
He's talking cherry tomatoes. It's just unbelievable. I've been picking up, give them to a neighbor, give them to his two daughters and son. Dad, we don't want no cherry tomatoes every day. Well, what am I going to do with them? I can't eat. I only eat 4 a day. Every day I eat 4 from them.
Yeah, we'll just make some salads and use them up that way. But, yeah, we had 2 cherry, or 1 cherry, 1 grape plant, and then I had 3 of the larger ones that are supposed to be beefsteaks, and they did not get big again this year, so we'll have to try again next year, but maybe if I get a couple of them big enough, I'll cut them up, put them, make BLTs out of them.
I grow a big boy. And beefsteak, and they are very big, really. I don't know how they get that big, but they do. And I also grow Amish tomatoes. Those Amish tomatoes, they're a little bit sweet. They're not that too much sweet, but they're a little bit sweet. But they were all green this year. I don't know why they didn't get red. I had about 7 of them.
Well, I had 1 big boy, 1 hybrid big boy, or hybrid beefsteak, and then I had 1 beefsteak, and I didn't get any large tomatoes this year. But they're all turning red now, finally.
Sometimes it gets that way, but really that cherry tomato, you know, it's about, I would say, 6-7 feet high from the ground. And that's hard for me to go up almost to the roof and put a rope or something like that. So when I left it alone, you know, go on the tree, I picked 3-4 of them, and I threw it right back on the tree, the higher tree. So they're still growing.
Well, the wife said something because our plants, all of them, they're taller than the 6-foot privacy fence, but they're in slightly raised beds, too. Because I'm going to have to get a ladder just to pick these things. So, I don't know. We did good on the cucumbers. A bunch of them came in. The green peppers just didn't change color this year. I don't know. Well, I'll try someplace else for my tomato plants next year.
Yeah, the cucumbers, it was unbelievable. I gave some to my doctor. He said, where do you get these? I said, I grow them. She loved them. She's a woman, but she loved those cucumbers. And I gave her some cherry tomatoes, and I gave her some jalapeno. I had about 6-7 jalapeno I gave to her. She liked them. And you know what? I took the grape this year. I forgot the name of it. I gave them so much, I went twice to his house, all the way there to Friend, and I gave them guacamole, you know they make guacamole? That's how they make it. And I gave them all that to them twice this year. That's how much I grow them.
Well, this is the second year my tomatoes, my large tomatoes didn't come in right. And the cherries and the grapes. The cucumbers, I had problems with them last year not turning green. They went right to yellow. This year they greened up nicely. I only had one that went right straight to yellow, but we had a lot of cucumbers, a lot of them. I don't know. I tried the green bell peppers, and they didn't turn out right. I don't know. I got a little bit more space. I'll figure out something I'll try again next year. Maybe move things around a little bit, try different locations. But we didn't get them in too late because of the cool springtime, and I'm wondering if that's why my tomatoes didn't get so big.
I usually, Mother's Day was yesterday, the second day I grow everything. And that's how I grow. Anyhow, when I see you probably there at the breakfast, I'll tell you another trick to those the tomatoes and also what they call it, pickles, cucumbers, and all that. There's another trick there to it, and I'll tell you what that is.
Well, I'm not going to make breakfast. I got to work Saturday morning.
Well, I don't know. You know, maybe I won't be there either because I don't, my cousin, he wants to go bow hunting. So I told him no problem, this Saturday we'd go. So I don't know if I'm going to be there either this Saturday. I'm not 100% sure of that, but we'll see.
Well, they're offering me the money, and I need it. I need to take it this week, the next 2 weeks if I can. I'm not going to be able to run up north, but I got to get up north, and I got to start getting things shut down and winterized up there, too.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Take that money. When it comes in, take it. Don't ever refuse it, really, because then after that, I don't know what this world is going to be on.
Yeah, well, I paid off my house early. Now I want to try and get some money together so I can either pay off or pay down my kid's student loan because she's not paying that, I'm paying that. Or I'll pay off my truck. But it starts with Saturday. I work these Saturdays. Put that money aside.
Oh yeah, I used to love Saturdays and I used to work them all. I don't care what was it, but I used to work them all. Because it's that good old money, you can do anything you want with it. But I usually save it, put it on the side.
Yeah, well, that and now that it's getting colder, I'll probably start reading my book, Study for the General, which means once I get the General, I can buy some more radio equipment. Or I'm going to need to buy some more radio equipment. Antenna for HF and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm going to have to start taking the overtime that they offer me so I can start putting it away to buy that stuff, too.
I started it a couple of days ago studying. I do nothing but take the exam test. And I was in the 60. I didn't get to 100 yet. So I'm still doing it, and I don't know when they're going to be ready to go get that test. But in the 60s, it's not bad, you know, for a couple of days starting with. And what are you going to do? You got to take the other one. Then you know what? Then, really, I only have on this 10, because, you know, the friend, all these, what's his name, Captain Don, that's what he's got. And then a few other ones, that's what they got. The Azu 710, the FT 710. It's a good radio. I bought it for $880. I had to pay $450 and put the rest of it on a credit card.
Yeah, well, I got that Yaesu 857D. It's new in the box. I bought it from an estate sale for a song. I got that I want to try and get going. And I got the 10-meter radio in the garage that I want to get hooked up. And there's a bunch of stuff. Plus, I've been looking at a few other radios, you know, one good base model. You know, I'm dreaming, because I sure as heck can't afford it right now.
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes you can afford it, sometimes you got to stop and look the other way, too. And it's always like that with me. You know, when I was 45 years old, and it was always like that. I stop and go, and I stop for a while, and don't do nothing till you find the way, you know, the right way to go in the front, frontward, not backward.
Yeah, well, they had one of our steel or aluminum suppliers had a fire, so we slowed down a little bit there, but they're still working Saturdays at least. And it looks like they're going to be working Saturdays for a little while now, so I got to take it when I can get it.
Yeah, I never don't pass that opportunity, really. Do not pass that. Take it from me. I really done that, and I went through it all, and I just kept going. I didn't care about anything else. Anyhow, I made about 48 contacts from a different world. And I know nobody's going to believe me, but I did. I even talked to, Japan. I was talking to Japan a couple of days ago.
DMR on Worldwide?
On the Yaesu 710. You know what? Was wire. Don't buy no antenna. You get the wires first out there. It's very easy, and that's all you need, really. And I had one wire to throw it up on with 100 watt, and the radio is 100 watt, the Yaesu 710. And it took care of all these stations. They would say, you come here 5x9, what kind of radio you got? I said, I got Yaesu.
Yeah, well, like I said, I got to figure out what I'm going to do and buy the stuff to do what I'm going to do. And then I got to get licensed so that I get more privileges.
I got to get one more license, too. I like to go on that 40-meter and a 20. 20 has been busy, too. You know, but 40... It's not that much, really, at 40. 80 is hardly anybody out there. 160, forget about it. Don't even put that antenna up there. But what I heard is 2-meter and 6-meter. 6-meter is, it was jumping a month ago.
Yeah, well. Depends, I guess, on solar activity and all that good stuff. Propagation will change. Maybe next year it won't be as good on one band, but it'll be better on another. I don't know. That's half the thrill of trying to work these frequencies, right?
Also, the weather had a lot of good thing in it. When you get hot and cold, especially, you know, during daylight in the morning, around 6, 7 o'clock, and it gets all the way to 1 o'clock in the evening. And that's what happened. For the last past 10 days, that's all I have is good luck with all these stations out there in the different countries.
All right, Jack. Well, I'm going to get back to the hockey game and get ready for bed. So I will talk to you later, my friend. And I'll listen for you tomorrow morning on the Morning Brew.
Did you close that pool yet?
Yeah, I'm going to dump the chemicals in it and probably pull the cover over it on Sunday.
Brian, good to talk to you out there. We'll talk again. I know it's to get a hold of you. Okay, I'll probably do that tomorrow morning, too. Take care. Have a good evening. KF8DRC.
All right, Jack, enjoy. 73s. W8BPD. I'll be clear.
W8FFY, repeat access test. Looks like it's working. Let's see if anybody can hear me. How about KFAEIC? This is W8FHY. Copy?
Let's go ahead, but you got a little bit of scratches. I don't know if you were calling for me or not, but I heard you out there, but really you had a lot of scratches before, but now a little bit of scratches.
Copy that. Yeah, this is Whiskey 8, Sierra Hotel Yankee. I'm in a building in Ann Arbor on a little HD, just trying to see if my radio can reach out and if anybody can actually hear me. So thank you for responding, and I appreciate it.
Oh, you're doing good, understandable, but a little bit fade out, which is no problem. I know you're on HD. You're doing good there. What the repeater are you on?
The KC8LMI, 448, it was like 575 transmit frequency.
Well, I don't know which one is that, but I'm on the Warren repeater, and I can hear you on that. But if you're on Ann Arbor, try a different one. There's one in West Brookfield. I don't know the probably the frequency is 442. I cannot remember what it is, but the one ARC. Try that one in West Brookfield. You might be able to do better there.
I'll do that. No, I'll have to look that one up and see if I can get it from here. You sound really familiar. Are you on GMRS too?
If you're looking for GMRS, there's a Detroit repeater which is 442-625. That will reach from where you had in Ann Arbor all the way here. It will reach there. Roger.
W8BPD.
Copy that. Thanks for your advice. I'll work up that repeater in the meantime. Let's let that braking channel, braking operator go.
Hey, Jack, that guy's on the Holly repeater. He's in Ann Arbor reaching out to the Holly repeater. That's a heck of a jump there.
Go ahead, that station in Ann Arbor.
And she said the Holly repeater? Holly, Michigan, is that correct?
That is correct. That is what's lighting up when you're talking. 442.35. And that's what you're keying.
Wow, that's a heck of a trip for a little bitty radio. No kidding.
What's the name of that radio, if you don't mind?
Yeah, no problem. This is a Kid Radio, TDH
Gen 3, the new one. Pretty good clean talking radio too. I've never reached out this far though. So really, really putting it through a station tonight.
Is that the one just the UHF, VHF without digital?
Affirmative. Yep, that's correct. Just plain old UHF, VHF. Doing about 10 watts.
Right, yeah, it's doing good. That's all the anyhow. All those kid radio, they all do good. I talked to the guys from Flint. I talked to the guys, in Ohio. They had those kid radio. One of them was really, he was driving when he was talking from that radio with the antenna outside when he was driving. He was sounding good on the KMRS, not the M.
Well, I got another one. I keep it on GMRS only, same radio. Matter of fact, we talked a few times there. Over there, I'm WSHY 363. I definitely recognize you. You got a very distinctive voice. In fact, you were the first person to talk to me on the Detroit 625 repeater. You gave me some good advice. I thank you again, Ben, and I'll definitely say thank you again. And it's a pleasure hearing you out here on the ham band.
Yes, and now I know, I remember you, 363, really. I talked to you before there on the GMRS. Yeah. I tell you, they're good radios. I don't really, I like them. I like them, but I don't have one, and I might get one. Maybe with a digital, too. I don't know yet, but I will look for one and see, because I have another friend of mine. He's there in Flint. He's got two of them, and he does a good job out there. Very clear audio. Anyhow, a good talking to you on this evening. We'll talk again. KFA, DRC.
Copy that. Yeah, pleasure talking to you too, as always. I'm sure I'll be running into you around the bands here and there. So I'm going to step back for now, W8SHY, and I'm clear.
W8SHY, I'm going to put you on the logbook. I have a logbook, and I'm going to put you down. Thank you again. KF8DRC.
November, Romeo Hotel Kilo.
How about that November station out there? Sorry, I didn't get the last part of your call sign. This is W8SHY. Copy.